Thank you, Lauren. This really is a pleasure to me. I was wondering if Lauren, in his introduction, was going to give you any of my educational background. I am a graduate. I graduated from George Washington Junior High in Birmingham. But that isn't my main claim to fame. I think perhaps the highlight year of my life was in the fourth grade. I got started off in dramatics quite young. In fact, it was in the fourth grade when I started. I had one of the key parts in the school play. I played the part of Abraham Lincoln. Of course, the fact that I had a beard might have helped. I got along real swell with my teacher. She was real nice. Of course, I was just a little older than she was. In fact, I liked the fourth grade so much that I stayed two terms, Hoovers and Roosevelts. There's more to my testimony, but I'll cut it off there. You'll possibly forget what I have to say. You'll even forget tonight. Maybe you remember Squinty the Hunter. Or you might remember Clem Cadillhopper. But if you do something that we're going to do right now, you won't forget part of it. That is, if you memorize. So turn to Philippians 4:9. This sermon has one point. Pace, Eddie. Let's read it together. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's say the reference and read it again. Philippians 4:9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I'm challenged and thrilled when I read the Bible and realize how the Lord Jesus Christ set the pace. The word pace setter is borrowed from an athletic term in running. A man who runs with the runners to set the pace. They run along with him, and he gauges the race. He doesn't always start out too fast or too slow, but he is the pace setter. He sets the pace with the idea in mind that the men that he is pacing will be winners of the race. The pace is so set that the men that he's pacing will be winners. If he started out too fast, you can see how the fellows might be winded before the last lap. If he started out too slow, why, some of the opponents might be through the race before the men that he's pacing would get started good. A pace setter. We don't use that strictly to the letter of the law in a spiritual application, but it's very close. One who sets the pace. And the Lord Jesus Christ was our chief pace setter. In everything he did, he set the pace. Perhaps the definition of pace setting would be show how by doing. Show how by doing. In Matthew 4:19, the Lord Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You follow me, then I'll show you how. You notice he didn't say what perhaps you and I have said. At least we've heard it said, you come to my soul-winning class and I'll teach you, I'll tell you how to win souls. I have the latest scoop, the latest philosophy, and all the materials that's appropriate. You just come to my class and we'll pass them out. Jesus said, you follow me. Jesus put himself on the spot, so to speak. He said, you follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And we keep in mind and we tremble as we read the Bible and quote Scripture, because we know this is God Almighty speaking to us. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Whatever God says, he will do. We know that. Our life is staked on that. Our eternity, our eternal soul's welfare, is based upon what God said. And God said, I will show you how. He was a pace setter. When he sent the disciples out, over in John 20, 21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. As I have set the pace, fellas, I have gone out before you. I know all about it. I have been this way before. He, being tempted, is able to succor them who are tempted. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus Christ went through everything that you and I have gone through or ever will go through. He was a pace setter. He did it. The question might come to your mind, as I've thought about, well, he was God. This was God's Son. Surely he could do it. He was God in the form of a man. He was man, yet he was God. Sure, he could do it. But I can't do it. I can't show people how. My life, Johnny, just doesn't stack up. I don't want anybody to look at me too closely and pattern their life after my life, because they're sure in for discouragement. Well, the Apostle Paul in 4:9 in Philippians says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, put into practice. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. In 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16, he says, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth a pattern in longsuffering to all those which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You know what a pattern is? I was talking with some of the girls back there about their squad dresses. And some bought them downtown and some made them themselves. Well, if they made them themselves, they had to have a pattern. And they cut out this dress according to a pattern that they purchased down at the store. In carpenter work, we use a pattern. We use a template, a pattern out of plywood. And we run out this pattern. We can change the pattern when it gets complete. Then we make the original like the pattern. Before this marvelous piece of work here was completed, there was a pattern made. It was part wood and it was part cardboard. And the fellows made a pattern. Paul says, I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth a pattern. Jesus said, Paul, you're going to be my first pattern in long suffering. And Paul was thrilled with that opportunity. A pattern. Well, there we go again, John. Jesus being God, of course, he could set the pace. He could be a pattern. Paul, you read where Paul had a special grace to be the first pattern, but still, what about me? I'm not Paul. I'm not God. Paul said further in Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. The little word mark, we still use it today on some of the ships that don't have the latest material. Correct me here, Lieutenant Downey. But on the old tugboat that I was on, we had two wings out and these old compasses. And when we're coming into the harbor, the officer in charge of bringing the ship in would take a bearing on object over here, or a tower, maybe a rock painted for this particular purpose, and you would get the bearing of this rock, and you'd call out the degrees, and you'd say, "Mark." And at that time, the quartermaster would look at his watch, get the time, and would bring into focus these particular marking points. And he'd draw three lines, and he would tell the officer of the deck, or the skipper, whoever's in charge, "We're right here. We took a marking. Mark." Paul says, there are some fellows around that are following me as I'm following him. You get them into focus. You get them lined up with a compass, and you mark. Mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. So the Lord plainly intended that people should be an ensample, should be a pattern for other people. And this pattern is in doing. In James 1:22 it says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." In John 13:17, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Now, a pace setter is really a leader. He's not a boss or a whipcracker. He's not like the foreman who was pushing his men rather hard, and one of the fellows said, "Look, chief," he says, "remember, Rome wasn't built in a day." And the foreman says, "Yeah, I know, but I wasn't foreman on that job." He's really a leader. Because we find in Matthew 20, around the 27th verse, "The princes of this world exercise lordship over you, but it shall not be so named among you. But he that is great among you, let him be servant of all." The princes of this world set up a system, and you go from private to corporal to sergeant to top sergeant and master sergeants, and they got three more grades of sergeants now, and then to your warrant officers and so on. And when you get to one position, you don't have to dirty your hands with the next position and so on. But Jesus said, that isn't the grades that I'm speaking about. They exercise lordship over you, but it shall not be so named among you. But he that is great among you, let him be servant of all. If any man be chief, if he's really the chief honcho, he'll be the pace setter, and the pace setter by doing. Paul taught Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Be thou an ensample of the believers, let no man despise thy youth." And in Titus 2:7, "In all things showing thyself a pattern," he told Timothy in 2:7. Look, in all things. Now, wait a minute, John. Wait a minute. I'm a writer. I'm a cook. I'm a truck driver. I don't have the gifts of these other things. I can't be a pattern in all things. Paul expected Timothy to be a pattern. A pattern. You know, a pattern isn't so much in production, but rather the message that Leroy brought in attitude. In all things, showing thyself a pattern. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, he says, "Ye know what manner of life we lived among you." Ye know. "For we came not unto you in word only, but in power, because our lives was lived as an ensample, as a pattern." 2 Timothy 4:5, "But watch thou in all things, make full proof of thy ministry." Some practical suggestions about pace setting. One of them is, let people in on your life. You know, so many of us, we really have a little shield around our life. We want to be somebody so badly that we have this shield and you can't really get in. I notice in the home where I live, fellas in the home, a little shield, a little act, as Rod says a while ago, a little imitation. Let people in on your life. I've noticed the fellows, when they were going out of the house, they have to be taught to tell people where they're going. And perhaps they would get a phone call. Or maybe we could be of service to them. Or some mischief could befall them. They could have an auto accident. But basically, people don't want people into their inner lives. Ever since I've been around the Navigator's work, there's criticisms of, you can't have people in your home. You can't do that. That's a sanctified place. If you have people in your home, then it'll go to pot. Well, we have living testimony of mature people who are quite well adjusted, who were reared in Nav homes. And some of the kiddies are here now. Let people in on your life. Share your life. Paul shared his life. Helen and I pray about everything we do, at least we try to. We even pray about our vacations, our time off. In trying to help people and train people, quite often a young couple will say, just what night do you and Helen take off for your own? You know, every couple should have one night and go out to dinner. Boy, it should be a law. Every couple should have one night. Well, I agree to that. But did you know, I have seen a good thing like taking off for dinner become such a selfish thing that when a couple missed out on their weekly, quote, night out, they'd be disappointed. And oftentimes, if company came, or if it was necessary to take someone else to share their life, they would be disappointed. Now, I know this is a silly illustration, and I shouldn't have shared it here. I'm wasting your time. But the people I work with are like that. Vacations. Do you pray about sharing your vacation? But, John, look, I am around people all the time. About 3 months ago, an old chief buddy of mine came up to see me. His ship was in. Been knowing him for 10 years or so. And he looked at that little house and looked at the people going. He said, John, I wonder how many people have been in your house today, and we had taken a walk up the road so we could have some time together. He says, I don't know, Dave, let's count them. So we could count them easily. 36 people. In an afternoon, in and out of the house. People? Sure. Yeah, Lord, 36 people, not my living room. Yeah? You know, Lord, I give my life to people. I do nothing but talk to people. I talk to people. I quote my verses to people. People quote their verses to me. I share my application with people. People share their application. And Lord, I don't expect a lot, but you don't expect me to share my vacation with people. Look, how you think he felt? He was tired. You get tired, don't you? Sometimes we get so tired, we get frustrated. We get ulcers. You get tired, huh? He was tired. He was so tired, they thought he was going to die. And they compel one Simon of Cyrene to bear his cross. They thought, this man's going to die before we get up to where we can kill him. That's right. He was tired. But he wasn't tired enough to look after chores and details. You know what little details the Lord looked after too all of his life? He was on the cross. And he saw his mother. And he thought, hey, there's a detail I got to look after. And he saw a man that he'd been training for 3 years. A man that was specially trained. A man that had a tender heart. A beloved man. A man that could recognize Jesus Christ. They were out on the ship one day, you know, and Peter and all the fellows, and this man looked out and said, it's the Lord. Peter said, hey, it's the Lord. Right off in the drink, you know. A man that was so close, he could talk to Jesus, and he said, Lord, who's going to betray you? He says, well, I'll show you. And he dipped the bread and he gave it to him. He says, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He was tired. Tired of being around people. Yeah. He was tired because he was dying. And yet he had time for John. He had time for his mother. Didn't seem to be frustrated whatsoever. It's amazing. As I work with people who know the Lord and love the Lord, I find that people that God are using have time for me. They really do. But the kiddies down the way, you know, boy, they're so busy we can't get together to plan a little conference or a weekend retreat or a rally because they got people to see and places to go and things to do. Really busy. You have time for people? Share your life. Set the pace. Do it. Quite often when a fella comes to our area, I get in conversation with him because I've learned that fellas might be looking for some suggestions to make life easier. One of them I check on from time to time is his gear, his possession, things, you know. Those things that we spend most of our life doing, making monthly payments on. And we get to the hi-fi and the tape recorder and the record player and the camera equipment and the shotguns. Maybe I shouldn't have said that last one. Then we get down to clothes. I remember one time a fellow came to work with me and, boy, we brought in clothes, we brought in clothes, we brought in clothes. And he had his clothes on a rack. Honestly, about a four-foot rack, because I remember the rack was about 6 feet and I had mine on there. And I noticed there were some odd colors and odd sizes. And I said, hey, I've never seen you wear this jacket. No, I don't wear this jacket much. Well, looks like a good jacket. Yeah, yes. Why don't you wear it? I don't like the color. I've never seen you wear this shirt. Looks like a real nice shirt. No, I don't wear it. Why? Well, it scratches my neck. And we went down, and lo and behold, if this kid wasn't lugging around a lot of stuff that he wasn't using. I said, why don't you dispose of some of this material? I might need it sometime. Well, his first assignment was to go through his gear and keep what he wanted and give the rest of it away. Did you know? I have seen fellas and gals stumble, not actually but spiritually, over possessions, over gear, without sharing. Have you ever thought about sharing something? You mean share a garment? Give some of your clothes away? Well, what have you ever shared? What can you share? Share your life. There may be someone around you in need, looking for God to answer prayer. You might get into trouble sometime. This spring, I was going through my wardrobe and I thought, well, a couple of suits, it's old. I'm going to get rid of those. And then I'll buy some new ones. I feel better, you know, if I got rid of the old ones and buy new ones. So my wife mentioned that, well, the one that you like so well, it really needs altering. Why don't you go to the tailor and have it altered? So I went to the tailor and he said, why don't you take it back to the where you bought it and get your size? I says, that's too late. He said, well, mister, this isn't your size suit. It's for this guy. One of the fellows that I said, hey, let's run down to the tailor's. For this guy?
Yeah.
So I pulled off my coat and sure enough it fit him. And he said, yeah, see, look, that's his size suit. So I asked the boy, did he want a suit? And he said, yes. So I gave him a suit. Well, there went my good suit. Be careful. You may... When you pray about giving something away, it might not be one something old that you don't really want. It might be your best suit. I thank the Lord for the little illustration and the teaching in my heart of He might want me to give the best I have away rather than something that I could easily do without. Set the pace in everything. Show how in everything. In work. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Work with your hands. Set the pace. In prayer. Luke 18:1. Luke 11:1. Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord. Pace setting has wonderful results because you really reap what you sow. You can't outgive the Lord. Have you ever understood how you could not give the Lord? Suppose Chuck said, Johnny, I'd like to take you out to dinner. So we'd go out to dinner. And he'd call me up in a week and so and say, hey, John, you free? Yeah, well, I'd like to take you out to dinner. So we would. About the third week or so, hey, John, you free? I'd like to take you out to dinner. By this time, I'd say, hey, Chuck, this is all one way. We'll go out, but it's on me. Naturally, you won't become obligated to a fella. You reach just a certain point. All right? You set the pace before the Lord. The Lord hears it. You take the Lord out to dinner once. You take him out to dinner twice. You see? Pretty soon the Lord, I won't let this fella outdo me. See, I'm God. God is Almighty. You can't get ahead of the Lord anyway, even in setting the pace. It's nice to try. We reap what we sow. In John 12:24, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Galatians 6:7-8, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Helen and my life has really been blessed. Really blessed. Because God is obligated? No. Because we've set the pace? No. But because of God's faithfulness. I heard Doss say one time, a number of years ago, we were having lunch in Los Angeles, a group of the kids, and God was doing some marvelous things. And he says, kids, I wonder what God would have done if I'd paid the full price at every turn. I shuddered. I thought, my. A while ago when Lauren says to catch a Miller, I looked over at Eleanor and then I decided I better not. Where were we? Los Angeles, having lunch. Kids, I wonder what God would have done had I paid the full price at every turn. Knowing what God did through Dawson's life, knowing how the Lord has poured out his blessings on my life, what would I be reaping today had I set the pace? All isn't lost. What will I be reaping tomorrow from the mighty hand of God if I just set the pace tonight? Won't it be wonderful? In sharing. We reap what we sow. Tragically, we reap what we sow wickedly. You know, wickedness is a terrible thing. Sin is a terrible thing. You can set the pace negatively. You can set the pace in wrongdoing. Down in this old heart. Job says in Job 4:8, even as I have seen, they that sow iniquity and plow wickedness reap the same, naturally. Like a man sow wheat and cultivate it, he can reap wheat. Job says, you sow iniquity and plow wickedness, reap the same. And tonight, kids, in a crowd like this, I think we ought to think just a minute on sin. Setting the pace on sin. Our hearts before the Lord. We reap what we sow. And I have seen men of God that have followed the Lord about where I am now and a little further along turn back into the world. And one of the things, they seem to get tired. They seem to get tired of setting the pace. They seem to get tired of, boy, you have to drive old second-hand automobiles and boy, it's rough. Perhaps you've said that already. Maybe you get tired of setting the pace in living a pure life as a single fella or a single gal. I know I sure did. That was a rough one. I almost didn't get married, as some of you know. But God is faithful. Are you tired? Has the tempter come in and tempted you just to hedge just a little bit? Maybe since you've been here? There's some nice-looking fellows and nice-looking gals around here. Have you been tempted to step out of the will of God and take things into your own hand? Perhaps you have. It's no sin to be tempted. It's sin to yield to it. And the life, the pace that you're setting right now will be a challenge to many lives. And God will bless you. God will be no man's debtor. God won't let you down. He really won't. He'll make it up. Well, how can we really set the pace? Well, the only way we can really set the pace is to be more like Him. Don't look behind, but look ahead. Don't look at results, but look at those things that get results. Don't be looking and say, well, if I'm a leader, I've got followers. I wonder who's following me. Yet, we can't hide it. It's just like a light. People will see it like a light on a hill, not under a bushel basket. People will see this light as we're looking straight at the Lord Jesus Christ. And it won't be long till we'll all be with Him, honestly. It won't be long. John 9:4, the night cometh when no man can work. Naturally, that's speaking of the night when we'll be with Him at the end of this age. But the night's fastly closing in. It really is. The night is closing in. Because I get tireder now than I did 10, 15 years ago. If I live 10 more years, the night will be closing in. I can't do quite as much. Or maybe not nearly as much. The night is maybe closing in for you. The night cometh when no man can work. Cheer up. Set the pace today before Him, as unto Him. All right? Let's go back to our verse. Philippians 4:9. Let's read it together. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Look at it. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Put into practice. And the joy, the God of peace shall be with you. Is that what you want? Do you want the God of peace? Really? Or do you want a promotion? Do you want something else? Is there anything you want besides the God of peace? Then you might not get it by pace setting. But if you want the God of peace, if you want Him with you, Paul said, do the things you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me. I really think tonight that what I want is the God of peace. I hope it is. I hope I want the God of peace more than I want Helen. And you know I love her. I hope I want the God of peace more than I want a ministry and to have a part in men's lives. And I'm having one of the greatest times I've ever had. I hope He is all I want. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we thank you now for this time together. And Lord, I know that my words, things that I say, will be of no avail. But Father in heaven, I know also that the things that come from you can pierce a heart, because Scripture teaches us that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, Father, we pray tonight that those things which are from you might be embedded deeply in our very souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.